my gratitude to His Holiness Sukadev Swami Maharaj and His Holiness Bhakti Rasamrita Swami Maharaj for their heartfelt and illuminating talks about the subject of pure devotional service. Bhakti Rasamrita Maharaj was discussing this principle of how the Lord, who is Atmarama, perfectly self-satisfied, the proprietor of everything that exists, feels hungry for the love of his devotee. That wonderful story from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Chaitanya Bhagavat, of Hiranya and Jagadish Pandit. The Lord was hungry for their rice. Not only hungry, crying incessantly, would not stop crying. Even the loud, constant chanting of the holy names by Sachi Mata, Jagannath Mishra, and his relatives, who were pure devotees, were chanting with intense, ecstatic love. Even that chanting could not pacify him. He was hungry. He was crying to taste the sweet love of Jagadish and Hiranya Pandit. This theme is very much throughout our scriptures. Maharaj described Sudama Vipra, how the Lord was so hungry for some very cheap chipped rice. And Ramchandra at Pampa Sarovar in Kishkindha Kshetra, he met Shabari. She had nothing to offer but some wild berries that she would pick from some bushes. And we know the story, how one could not tell whether those berries were sweet or bitter. They looked identical. She didn't want to give a bitter berry to the Lord. So she would take a small bite out of each berry. Carefully analyze whether it was sweet or bitter. If it was sweet, she would take it out of her mouth and offer it to Lord Ram. If it was bitter, she would put it aside. And Lord Ram was eating them. He was hungry for them. Now, this was very much not according to the regulative principles of archana, of how to worship the Lord. But the Lord is attracted by pure love. He's hungry for pure love. And in in Lord Chaitanya's Leela, Shuklambar Brahmachari, he used to beg door to door. He was just a brahmachari with no possessions. He had a little grass hut on the bank of the Ganges. He'd go to at least 10 or 12 houses every day. As he would be begging, he would be singing the glories of the Lord in ecstasy. The common people just thought he was an ordinary brahmachari beggar. But the Lord within his heart understood that he was the wealthiest man because he was constantly absorbed in loving devotion to the Supreme. So one day at the house of Srivas, when Sri Chaitanya was sitting on the throne of Vishnu, revealing his supreme opulences, everyone was dancing. And Shuklambar just had raggedy, simple clothes, and he had this little cloth bag that hung from his shoulder where he had whatever he begged. How many of you have been beggars sometime in your life? Please raise your hand. Okay, well, I'm not telling you you should beg for prema bhakti, definitely. But I used to be a beggar here in India. It's considered something very sacred when a sadhu begs. And people don't give you the best things in their kitchen. They usually give you nothing except chastisement. Why don't you get a job? Something like that. Or else they ignore you. Or if they're charitable, they'll give you the cheapest thing there is. And in Bengal in those days, it was broken up rice. Rice, it's all at the bottom of the barrel, it's all broken up and it doesn't cook very well. They would give him broken rice. And that's all he had in his little bag. And he was dancing very blissfully. But because he was chanting the holy names with such love, the Lord was hungry. He called Shuklambar to come forward and thrust his hand in the bag of Shuklambar Brahmachari. Took it out and ate the rice. Wasn't even cooked. Shuklambar was saying, "Don't do this. It's not right. You shouldn't be eating this." And Lord Chaitanya, handful after handful. And similarly with Raghunath Das Goswami. He was the son of Govardhan and Hiranya Majumdar, who were like billionaires in today's world. They had huge estate, tremendous wealth. But he left everything to live in Puri as a Goswami, performing very, very difficult devotional actions in the sense that he was living so simple. And at a certain point, the only thing he would eat the Jagannath Prasad that would come off the altar of Lord Jagannath would be given to pilgrims. What they didn't give to the pilgrims, they would give to shopkeepers to sell. What wasn't sold in time, when the rice became rotten and nobody would buy it, they would throw it in a pile outside the temple where cows would come to eat it. That pile is still there today. And the cows would eat the rice, but that rice that was so rotten that the cows spit it out because they couldn't tolerate it. At night, Raghunath would collect those grains. And he would take the inner portion of it, put a little salt on it, and eat it. Does that sound like a nice feast? That's all he ate. And when Lord Chaitanya heard about this, he came to Raghunath Das Goswami's little bhajan kutir and said, "Raghunath Das, I heard that you're eating very nice food. Please give me some." And Raghunath Das Goswami said, No, I don't know where you're hearing this. It's not true." But the Lord came just when he was about to eat that rice rejected by cows. And Lord Chaitanya understood. He was hiding it behind himself. And the Lord thrust his hand to where the rice was and ate it. Raghunath said, no, don't, you can't eat this. And Swarup Damodar Goswami, like what Maharaj was saying about Rukmini, couldn't tolerate seeing Lord Chaitanya eating this. So he said, that's enough, Lord, that's enough. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, I have tasted so much Mahaprasad of Lord Jagannath, but never have I tasted anything so satisfying and delicious as what Raghunath Das Goswami is eating every day. It's not that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu particularly likes the inner kernel of rejected rice. But he was tasting the renunciation of Raghunath Das Goswami. And that renunciation was built on the foundation of pure love. He wanted to engage his senses, his mind, his very life at every moment in giving pleasure to the Lord. And to maintain himself, he wanted this, the simplest, least possible, so he could give his full energy and attention to Krishna. That renunciation based on love is most satisfying to the heart of the Lord, hungry for that love. What pleases the Lord is the perfection of life. Maharaj was explaining about Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, how he opened a temple at the place where Jagadish Pandit had has his Jagannath deity. I'd like to briefly explain a story of a temple that was opened by the followers of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And this story very much illustrates what it really means to please the Lord or to please the great spiritual masters. He sent, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur sent some of his followers to a relatively far away, isolated place to begin a congregation and temple. Just a few of them went. They didn't know anyone. They didn't have anything. They started with nothing. But they were enthusiastic to please their guru and to reach people's hearts and give them this great gift of devotion. So after some time, people took interest. People started loving prasad. They were chanting in kirtan, japa. They were hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita. And soon people became so enthusiastic and so dedicated, they built a beautiful temple. They ordered deities of Radha and Krishna. And when everything was made, they invited Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur to come to install those deities. They were preparing for months and months and months. All the construction was finished. They were decorating. They were organizing feasts, and they had to raise all the funds for everything. The day before Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur came, one simple brahmachari, he wasn't a leader, he wasn't one of the very prominent preachers, he was just a simple brahmachari, one of the several. He was seen acting improperly with a neighboring young lady. And one of the leaders chastised him very strongly. And this brahmachari, this monk, his heart was so embarrassed and so broken that without telling anything to anyone, he left the mat, the temple. They were looking around. He wasn't there. Anyways, it wasn't so important. We have to get ready for our guru's arrival. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, Prabhupada, arrived in a train, and there was a beautiful kirtan waiting for him at the railway station, and then they brought him to the site of the temple. There it was, brand new, shining temple, decorated with garlands and flowers. There were hundreds and hundreds, if not thousands, of people from the congregation and the neighborhood who were all with their arms raised, loudly chanting the holy names. There was a delicious feast cooked for thousands and thousands of people. The deities were there. Everything. They did everything just to please their guru. And now is the culmination. Their Guru Maharaj was going to have the first sight of all the people that they transformed. The land that they transformed into a beautiful place of worship. And all the prasad and all the kirtan and everything, it was so active, it was such a festival. All to please him. He looked over to one of the leaders after scanning through the whole scene around him. And he said, "Where is that brahmachari?" They were mortified. I said, "Guru Maharaj, you mean that brahmachari?" He said, "Yes, that brahmachari. I don't see him." And they told what happened. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, "He may have made a mistake, but you broke his heart. One devotee is more valuable to me than everything." He said, "I will not participate in this function until he comes back." He said, "All this feast, all this chanting, all these people, all this temple, if you cannot act properly with each other, none of this will satisfy me." So the whole festival was stopped. Where to find him? They had no idea. He just left. Didn't say anything. They were in a desperate state. Sometimes in a desperate state, your mind becomes quite clear. So they were all talking amongst themselves. There's no installation. There's no festival. Everything's finished. We have to find him. Where are we going to find him? I don't know. They were asking everybody, did he tell you where he's going? I said, "No, he didn't say anything to anyone." And one person said, "Actually, some months ago, one of us, our watch broke. And he knew how to fix it. So he left. He had nothing. He has to survive somewhere. He knows how to fix watches. Maybe he's in a watch repair shop somewhere. Well, let's go look." They were searching everywhere and everywhere. They went to every possible watch shop and watch repair shop in the whole town. They couldn't find him. And finally, one, and the leaders were out looking. One of them asked in a watch repair shop, "Have you seen a person who looks like this?" They said, "That might be him in the back." They went to the back, and there was the devotee sitting there fixing watches. He was shocked to see his elder godbrother coming in. And he was told, "This is what our Gurudev has said. He doesn't care about all the things we've been doing for the last several years to build this place up. If we've mistreated you, this is his love for you. Please come back." That simple devotee started to cry. "Gurudev loves me so much." He came back. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati embraced him. And the festival began. Thousands of people were fed prasad. There was the installation of the beautiful deities. There was dramas and dioramas. And there was constant sankirtan of the holy name. That devotee who came back, he didn't take the love of his guru cheaply. He was so deeply affected by that affection, by that mercy, that he dedicated his life so deeply, instantly. A little later, he became a sannyasi. A little later, he became a guru. A little later, he started his own mutt. But even in his very old age, sannyasi, disciple, so many things, he would regularly tell that story. And every time he told that story, he would cry, remembering the love of his spiritual master. And through this incident, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur wanted to teach all of us for all time to come what it means to love. To love means to understand what will please Krishna, what will please Guru, what will please the Vaishnavas. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he once said that one devotee of mine who is sincere, I consider more significant and important than everything within all the universes of creation. That's how the Lord personally feels toward a devotee. How we treat each other, how we honor and respect each other. Mad bhakta pujapyadika. That's very much how we will please Krishna. Our Srila Prabhupada, one time a leader made some serious mistakes, and another leader started criticizing him and spreading it around publicly. Srila Prabhupada was more upset with the person who was staunchly following, who spread it around, than he was the person who made the serious mistake. He said, "Now you have broken his heart and he won't be able to come back." When that person finally did come back, Prabhupada embraced him with tears. So yes, each of us individually must take responsibility. Responsibility to do the right thing, to live properly. according to devotional principles. But one of the actions which are so central to devotion is how we treat each other. How we treat each other is very much how the Lord and the Guru are going to accept our devotional service. It is said in the Srimad Bhagavatam that Krishna's more hungry and is more satisfied to eat through the mouths of his devotees than he is in offering ghee into the sacred fire, which is not different than Vishnu. We offer wonderful bhoga to the deities, and Krishna accepts the love and devotion that goes into that bhoga. But he's even more satisfied when we take that prasad and satisfy his devotees with it. Krishna eats through the mouth of the Vaishnavas and is hungry to eat through the mouths of the Vaishnavas. Yesterday, Gauranga Prabhu was talking about the whole progressive chronology of improving the kitchen standards here at our temple. He was very polite the way he did it. At one point, they actually told me that they were purposely making the prasad not nice. Not the Mahaprasad for the deed.